You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, everybody. Hello and welcome in to... I think I mispronounced everybody.
All right, buddies.
This is where we're going to start now. One, two, three. Buddies, welcome into season 3, episode 2. We're laughing for a number of reasons. First of all, I can't pronounce basic words. Second of all, we are filming, or I guess rather recording, season 3, episode 2, which is actually happening before season 3, episode 1, just out of an abundance of caution, we'll say, just to try not to be too big of an asshole to Pat here and keep him up all night, considering he has been one of our longtime listeners. But more on him in just a second. You know the deal. I am Cam Hasbrook, joined as per usual by Chris Gear and Drew Johnson. We're here to talk about some Bruins hockey, which is coming back. We're here to talk about some beer. We're in the season. I guess we'll do the season three spiel in episode 1. So we'll skip over that and we'll just jump right into it. This is a long time coming on this one. I feel like of all of the long time, I don't even like to say fans, because I don't feel like fans or listeners is right. I think it's just like part of our community. But Patrick Laverty is on the show today, and he was a day one part of the Brews and Bruins community. And I think I'm speaking for all of us when I say this is long overdue. So we're figuring in season 3 here. We're going to try to really, especially with these Friday episodes, try to get some more community interaction going on. And no better place to start than with Pat. So, Pat, welcome to the show. Sorry it's taking so long, my man.
Hey, thanks a whole lot for having me, and I especially want to thank Chris and Drew tonight for having these two listeners on the show tonight, these two big fans of the show, both myself and Cam, joining you tonight. So
I know, they let one of us host, too. Isn't that wild?
Yeah, they're even letting you host. That's the best. Maybe for episode 1, I'll get to host that one.
Yeah, maybe we'll just go back into it. I like it. All right, well, Pat, you know how this goes. You want to start off the beer? Unless Chris was jumping at the bit there, but...
No.
Go ahead.
Because this is one of the things that I've been super looking forward to. It's one of my favorite parts of every single episode is the beer segment. So I came fully prepared. I know nobody can see anything, so I'll have to be pretty descriptive here. I remember a few episodes ago, Chris did talk about the Gansets.
Oh, the Gansets. Yeah.
I got one of those, but I'm not so sure that's what I want to do because Chris did it. And I also brought... a Corona. So we got one of those, but yeah. And we're not really going to do that. I got something that's a little bit more obscure than a Gansett and a Corona. I got this thing, Mocha Joe's. I don't know if you guys ever tried this one. I've never heard this one described on the show. So let's give
definitely
this
not
a shot. Let's see. I need one of Drew's guitar picks or something.
I have a knife now. I came prepared.
Oh, he does. He's got it right next to him. That's terrifying.
Drew's going to hurt somebody or himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, this Mocha Joe's is an espresso roast porter from the Howler Brewery in Williamsburg, Massachusetts. So I guess I would probably... Let's try that one more. Yeah. Yeah, that's got some dark chocolatey notes. It's smooth. It's not too heavy. It's got more taste than a Guinness, and it's probably a little bit similar to a Guinness. So let's see. For taste, I'm going to give it a Zdeno Chara. This is a 33.
Nice.
But for drinkability, because it's 5% alcohol and I'm old and that kind of hits me a little bit harder than most, it's not something that you can kind of pound all day like those other beers. So I'm going to go with a Nick Foligno on those. I'm going with a 17.
I like it.
I forgot his number was 17. That's
I still think Milan Lucic, yeah.
I still think Foligno is a 71. But
or at least I didn't go with Ryan Donato.
Yeah, that's true. I like the choice. I feel like the kind of like milkier stouts are the one beer type that is missing. I mean, I've had a few of them I remember before. I remember drinking a Gunner's Daughter, which is from one of the breweries up here. But I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of hit or miss with those like stouts. The coffee ones tend to be more the ones that I like because they're a little bit sweeter. And I do like Guinness a lot, but yeah, I mean, it's a nice addition to the pod that we don't normally get on here.
Yeah, this one's got probably just a little bit more flavor than a Guinness, and I would certainly never knock a Guinness. But you really do need to have the Guinness straight from the tap in Ireland. Getting one is not going to be quite the
same. I feel like such an asshole because it's true, but I don't want to be like that guy that's like, oh, you got to get it straight from the factory. But like once you have it there, it's like it's just okay anywhere else.
Yeah, I try not to mention
that. And I'm a Baltimore guy. I like Baltimore, but yeah, it's tough. Although, actually, the Guinness Baltimore Blonde is a very good beer, I will say that. Is a American-made Guinness, if anybody wants to ever try that one out. But
ooh.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Drew already tipped his hand, and it's probably not going to be a surprise for anyone. Well, so, Drew, you want to send this one across?
So, I am drinking currently a Corona Extra, but before this, before dinner, I had a little pre-dinner drink at the bar downtown Portland. Right by the Portland State Theater.
What is happening? Why is this a thing that we were doing? And, now?
It's from Baxter Brewing Company.
Love me some Baxter. Don't Baxter do that, though. I ruined it the first time when I went from Boston to Chicago by accident.
Baxter! It's from Baxter Brewing Company, which is in Lewiston, Maine. And it's called Staycation. And I gave, I think it was a lager.
It's a good one.
I forget what the guy said. I didn't even see it. And then I was like, that one, that cool one, the handle on the tap. So, but tasteability, I wrote down 32 and drinkability, I wrote down 20. I don't know any of the reasons. This was hours ago that I had this beer and then I had tacos after. So the taste is not with me anymore.
Just guessing. That's a very Drew review. I like it.
I liked it. I wanted more. My girlfriend was like, no, let's go eat tacos.
Okay. Understandable.
But what was your taste score on the tacos, though?
Yeah, that's the question.
Tacos were
great. And the drinkability.
Except we messed up with the rice. It wasn't ready until 20 minutes after we ate. So, you know, that's always good when the kind of main part of... I guess the taco, it's not the main part, but, you know, it's like the base of a taco is rice or a grain of some sort. No?
No.
Or a meat.
No.
No.
We wanted to throw some rice in there. We wanted a grain. Messed it up.
Rice is a component in a mission style burrito, I guess, but
I had pork in mind. I didn't have
the San Diego, the California guy is getting defensive about the tacos.
Well, yeah,
so that's more of an LA thing, isn't it? Or is that
mission style burritos are more of an LA and San Francisco thing. California burritos are a San Diego thing. That's where the you know, your starch and your carbohydrate is potatoes instead of rice.
Oh. Makes sense.
There's no lettuce, none of that crap in there. It's
I don't like the lettuce, a little extra crunch and stuff.
All meat and potatoes.
Meat and potatoes. Big Mitch Moreland. I don't know. Who's the meat and potatoes brewing, you think, now that Kevin Miller's gone?
I mean, that's going to be Nick Foligno.
Probably, yeah. Makes sense. Drew, I've got some nachos here, so we're sticking on the same vibe. But
just made it's some like nachos. We're in the same place.
We're actually not this time, though. So, yeah. Chris, what you got?
Yeah, I've had this on the pod before. This is a Never-Ending Haze Session IPA by Stone. It doesn't say Session IPA anywhere on it, but it definitely is at 4% alcohol. And I think I mentioned last time, this is one of the Session IPAs that reminds me most of an actual IPA. You definitely sacrifice some of that hoppiness, like the depth to it, by just like throwing a bunch of dry hops into the process, but... I think they did a pretty good job of capturing the flavor. Yeah, I mean, we'll start with the drinkability because it's very high. That's going to be like a 30. And then the tasteability with most sessions is going to be a lower score. So we'll give it like a 12.
Nice. I like it. I'm going a little more mainstream than I usually do, but I saw it at the grocery store. Decided to give it a go. I'm a big fan of Leinenhugel's. Has the, I think it's like a summer shandy or something like that. That's pretty good. But I picked up, they released an Oktoberfest. So I figured we are definitely in the season for Oktoberfest now, despite it being September. So I figured I'd give it a try. I usually go for the smaller microbrews.
Episode's being released in October, Cam.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, days are hard. So there you go. It's October. Happy Oktoberfest, everybody.
It's actually so October 1st when this is released.
If we get it out on time, right, Drew? Hey, all right.
How are you? I will this Shots time. Fired.
So Leinenhugel's Oktoberfest, crisp and traditional German-style Marzen beer, 5.1%. Let's give it a go. Pretty good. I like it. Definitely kind of the deep flavor you'd expect out of like a true German Oktoberfest. Nothing outrageously good, but I think, like, you know, when you're buying kind of a mass brewed beer like this, you know what to expect, and it's definitely good for that. Yeah, a little bit of hoppiness, kind of a bitter finish, but a deep flavor, which I like. It's always what I'm looking for out of an Oktoberfest. So drinkability, pretty good. I'd say a 29. Definitely could knock back a few of these. Taste, I'm going to give it like a solid 24. I feel like that's a nice middle ground where you can definitely taste it, but it's not smacking you over the head exactly. So
I think the bitter finish part probably fits the Bruins pretty well.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully not this season, but that's something we'll get into, I guess, right now, because the season has officially begun with a,
I didn't like that.
Yeah, I didn't either, but it had to happen. A 3-2 shootout win over the Washington Capitals, which I guess the shootout would have happened either way. So at that point, maybe it's just a tie. I don't know.
Really excited to have already discussed this in the next episode / the previous episode, and then we're gonna double down and rediscuss.
Should we? I guess we should do it. Yeah, we should do it in the last episode. All right, we'll cut that part out. I guess that makes sense. We're not gonna talk about a really old preseason game. So
there will have been another preseason game by the time this is released.
That's fair. All right, I'm gonna go firing right at Pat then, because I scrolled by a tweet earlier. I gotta find it. That a pretty, I don't know if it was a player or a media member or something like that, called Rhode Island, I should preface this by saying Patrick is the pride of Rhode Island, especially when it comes to Brews and Bruins, but really all around. I think known as, I feel like, one of the premier Rhode Island hockey guys, not that it's necessarily a massive community, but on Twitter, like, I feel like you get that recognition. I saw somebody refer to it as the state of hockey. I'm curious whether that's ever something you've heard about, or the reaction says no. But as somebody who I was going to actually preface this by first asking whether Rhode Island's real, because I can't confirm that it is. I'm not sure if it's just an outshoot of a neighboring state. But could you confirm or deny, rather, its reality to start? And then we'll get into whether this potentially real state is the state of hockey.
Despite what some people might say, we are not Cape Cod's armpit. So if you kind of look at Cape Cod as like a flexing arm, Rhode Island would be like right down in the armpit of it. But no, we're actually a real state, and we can actually fit 3 or 4 people in it at once without having to keep one foot in Connecticut and Massachusetts at the same time. So yeah, we're real.
I appreciate that. I was talking to Tom Karen the other day. This is gonna circle around. I'm being real. So you guys might have seen on Twitter, I had an awesome experience. Tom Karen was up here getting inducted into the Maine Sports Hall of Fame. Tom Karen from Nesson. You probably know him from Red Sox pregame, postgame, a little bit of Bruins stuff, and college hockey for Nesson as well. He's from Lewiston, Maine, so he was getting inducted into the Maine Sports Hall of Fame this year. And he's buddies with our sports director, Dave Ead. And so Dave was going out to shoot, and I was before work, and I was just like, Dave, like, can I tag along with you? Like, off the clock and stuff. You know what I mean? I'm not going to get paid for this, but like, I just want to go meet Tom. And he was like, yeah, you want to come, buddy? Absolutely. So I kind of slid in with him. First of all, woefully underdressed. I was getting ready to leave, and I was like, all right, this is going to be somewhat classy at least, but it's in like a, I've never been in the building before. I'm not sure what it's like. So I show up and I was like, I don't want to show up way overdressed. I'm not going to go like shirt and tie and everybody else is just wearing like, you know, something casual, but I also don't want to like come up too underdressed. So I decided to go like golf shirt and slack shorts, which was a mistake. I should have gone pants. Anyway, I pull up to this thing and people are in full on tuxedos and I'm like, oh shit. All right. Well, it's all right. Cause I'm just the media guy. So I know, you know what, don't want the attention on me. And Dave was my sports director was also, you know, he was like in a vest and slacks and stuff. So it wasn't like I was the only one not wearing a tuxedo or anything like that. But anyway, I was talking to Tom and Dave, and Tom says that one of the things he really likes about Maine is that he considers it kind of like an underdog state in New England. You know what I mean? You always hear about Massachusetts and well, mainly Mass as the big dog, but obviously Vermont, New Hampshire kind of get a lot of recognition. Maine is big geographically, but population size small. Rhode Island, obviously, certainly even smaller. And then, as Tom called it, the good half of Connecticut also counts for New England. So I feel like I kind of get a little bit of that with that underdog mentality, and more so for Rhode Island than for Maine. But it's a New England underdog that I've come to appreciate over the last year and a half here, I will say.
Yeah, Rhode Island is probably very underappreciated in New England, at least. And we have like a lot of the same great things that Maine can have, including like the food and the seafood and all that sort of thing. But we also have the sports down here. We got the P Bruins down here. Well, I guess we just lost the Red Sox and that kind of stuff. But yeah, so former national champions, Providence College hockey's from here. We get some pretty good stuff going on all around here. And a couple times a summer, we even light the river on fire. So if you're ever hanging out on a Saturday night in Providence in the summer, you can stop by on Waterfire, which is sometimes fun to do as well.
I want to note that that's on purpose. It's not like New Jersey where there's just so much chemicals in the water that it naturally catches on fire. That is an actual thing that they're doing down there.
I can't guarantee it either way. I'm not really gonna go by and you see the river on fire, but nobody's really panicking about it.
That's good.
I did do my buddy's bachelor party in Providence, and that was a good time.
Right, there you go.
It's a place that exists. I can confirm it as well.
Awesome.
I've been to the casinos right over the Massachusetts border.
There you go.
Into Rhode Island.
Hey, that one's right in my hometown, Drew. You were like 10 minutes from my house when you visited there.
I also visited URI, or as my as they like to call it there, UR High. Apparently that's what people refer to it as actually though.
And you didn't go there.
In a family, I know.
were they calling instead I went to
Quinnipiac. Either way, I would have messed up my life probably, but you know, whatever.
Were they calling the school that, or is that what they were just saying to you, Drew?
No, people were calling the school that. I have a like family a member from Drew. Who lives in
yeah,
Drew. It was like we call it that. So I don't know. Maybe I was just high and I don't know, thought it. Who knows? And there's another school there that I had visited, but I forget the name.
Drew, maybe you came up with the joke and you were like, I got to nail this one for later. And then you confused yourself so much that you thought somebody told it to you.
Did I go to college? I forget. anyway, let's move on.
Supposedly.
Yeah, I can't confirm it, but I've been told by you, and I gotta trust you.
I either have a bachelor's degree or I'm a bachelor.
You have a job, and I assume you put it on your resume, so I'm hoping you did go to college.
I yeah, also put Brews and Bruins on my resume.
So that tells you a lot about the integrity of the resume, which, by the way, I have it on some of mine, too.
Best believe I'm putting that on my resume as well.
Oh, I'm putting it on mine now, too.
Hey.
Your show's from, yeah, exactly. You probably deserve more than I do, Pat, to be honest with you.
Week 3 of football is in the books, and now it's time to review the tape and get ready for Week 4 with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off another action-packed week, DraftKings is giving new customers $150 instantly when they bet $1 on any football game. Just $1. Listen up, because you don't want to miss this. Head to the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and place a bet of $1 on any game this week to receive $150 free in bets instantly. If Sportsbook is not yet available in your state, DraftKings still has huge cash prizes up for grabs all season long with their daily fantasy contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in those daily fantasy contests with their first deposit. That's a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to receive $150 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. That's DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
All right, so one of the things that we did last week with our kind of random fishing on Twitter and that I'm hoping to do with some more members of our community here is to just kind of talk about your history as a Bruins fan and what that's been like, whether you've always been a Bees fan or it's something you picked up later in life. So, Pat, I'd be curious to hear, you know, how you got into the team and stuff.
Yeah, sure. I've probably been a Bruins fan since before any of you guys were even born is going to be my guess. I think the first season that when I was a kid, I used to watch Red Sox and Bruins games at night with my dad. One of the things that I would like to do, especially watching Red Sox games, was kind of keep the box score myself. So when the Bruins started up, I'm like, let me see if I can do this same thing with the Bruins. So Fred Cusick was the announcer way back then. I think this was like 1978, 79. They announced the opening lineup. I write them all down in my score sheet. And then I start keeping my own stats of the Bruins game. Well, the thing that I didn't realize as an 8 or 9 year old is the players change about every 30 seconds. So I had all the Bruins names written down and I'm keeping stats for them. And 30 seconds later, they're talking about different players. And I'm like, what is going on here? So that was kind of my first confusion and experiences with hockey. Let's see. I also remember getting the Ray Bourque rookie card. If you've ever seen that one, it was the year that they actually covered up the names with the scratch off thing. And if you have one of those cards that you didn't scratch off, I guess it's worth more. And, you know, of course, scratch them all off. And I had no idea what a card is now. I remember being in high school and watching the Stanley Cup final against Edmonton and then crying a whole lot. But I'm also
been there.
Yeah. Well, I'm also a Bruins season ticket holder. So speaking of crying, I was there for game 7 against St. Louis, and that was probably one of the worst nights of my life. That's like horrendous.
Yeah, that's such a like, I was thinking about that the other day of like going into big games like that. And like earlier in the day, you're like, all right, this is either going to be like one of the greatest nights of my life, or like it's going to be so profoundly sad because I don't know, not so much that like they lost at that point, but it's just like, damn, like what could, it really could have been like one of the coolest nights of my life. And it's just like, in hindsight, there's just, as a fan, there's so much pressure that I can't even imagine actually stepping on the ice. But
so I have no concept of time. We weren't doing this podcast at that point, right?
No, it was, we started.
Yeah, no, we weren't. I was in Baltimore for that one. And
we were February before for that March. Game. Remember that?
February before March.
yeah, the February before the March of COVID.
I remember leaving work. I was working at Masson at the time, and we had work like leading up to like 10 minutes before game time. So I was like running down the streets of Baltimore, like in like somewhat dress clothes, in with my backpack on. And I remember sprinting back and being like, "All right, I got 10 minutes till puck drop." And I was like, "Wait!" I hit the brakes, jumped into the liquor store. I was like, "All right, I'm getting." Like a case of beer in case things go well, and then a case of vodka in case things don't go well. So I grabbed them both. I'm like running down the street, got back home, and then I stood there. And I didn't think I sat down once during that game. I was pacing across my room.
I didn't either.
The entire time.
So I had a case of PBR, and I don't know how many of them I had nervously finished by the end of that game. But I knew as soon as that game was over, I was throwing cans at the wall. And I had a neighbor come over and asked me to stop yelling. So very chill night for me as well.
I was at the Fours in Boston for that. My dad and uncle were at the game. I'm sure I've told this story, but I might have. It's honestly sounding familiar, so I feel like I said it recently on the podcast too. But yeah, that was rest in peace to the Fours, first of all. And second of all, yeah, I was really hoping that would be super fun. Like everyone partying out on Causeway after. No, that was a very, very quiet train ride home for sure.
Yeah. And that was one of the things that really stood out in leaving the garden is like, there was so many police out all around the garden and just everybody was silent, quiet. It certainly had, didn't look anything like Vancouver in 11 for sure.
Yeah.
But leave it to Bostonians to be more reserved in their anger.
I think it was probably just more shock and for everybody that most of us thought for sure that we were going to win that game. And especially during the beginning first half of the first period and how much the Bruins dominated.
Yeah.
And just the way the first period ended was pretty much shock. And then the rest of the game, St. Louis just decided to turn the whole thing into a slog. And it was just frustrating and disgusting.
Yeah. Maybe the worst hockey game I've ever watched.
It might have been. Yeah. So that's uplifting.
Yeah.
That's
fun. Awesome. Fun notes. All right. Thank you for listening to this episode.
Yeah. Welcome to season three, where we still just sit here and cry about the games. I do want to turn it back because Pat, your initial comments about getting into hockey, I absolutely love the scorekeeping thing. Like that reminds me, like I used to sit on the living room floor and try to commentate the games. And I guess that was the tally over then that somehow developed into this monstrosity. But I love that because you hear about that so much for like baseball, especially in person. You know what I mean? I mean, I've gone to games and done that myself, and even a little bit at home when I was especially learning to do it and stuff. But you hear so much about people keeping a book in baseball and how fun it is to kind of have that interaction with the game. But you really don't hear about it as much with hockey, largely, I would imagine, for the reason that you said it's so much harder to track for hockey. There's not just one singular, you know, pitcher versus batter and there's a result and a break. Like, it's very hard to track hockey stats. But I do love that. That's a really kind of unique way to get into the game.
Yeah, you'd really have to be pretty deep into it to be able to track anything, because at any kind of higher level, really what you're probably looking at is just goals and maybe shots. But I know there's far more to it now that people have broken down to a lot of the stats that are getting into it, but an 8-9-year-old kid probably isn't really looking for much more than, you know, goals scored.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because when I was an 8 or 9-year-old kid, I was sitting there hand calculating the expected goals percentage.
I like wouldn't totally. I'm like 99% sure he's kidding right now, but I really don't know.
I don't know. I watched the game. I don't know. I don't think I did anything special.
And Drew's just like, yeah, no, I just kind of.
I certainly wasn't going to do any. I wasn't going to do any fucking math. Yeah. I got drunk, actually. My dad was nice and gave me beer when I was 8. No.
We're joking. This is.
None of that happened.
Chris is going to get fired by association here. Is not.
Yeah, this is bad.
It wasn't beer. It was hard liquor. No. yeah, honestly, I think I just watched. I don't really remember. Oh. No,
it's a cool story, Drew.
Drew just went to the games and met fucking everybody who was famous, apparently.
Yeah, I met Sergei Samsonov. When we get to listener questions, either this episode or when we got to them last episode, I will tell / told a story.
Retell.
Yeah.
That's good. I have some, oh man, wait, this is, I guess I should do it for the next episode. But
the last next episode?
The previous episode that you're already listening
really, really to. Really pulling punches on this. This is why we shouldn't ever record out of order.
Yeah, though, this is a poor idea. Well, I'm just going to drop it anyway. I'm joining a men's league team, boys, finally, after two years of out of the game, at least organized-wise.
You've mentioned this, I feel like.
No, I just found out about it today, so I don't think I have.
But no, you mentioned it to me in person. Never mind.
I was going
to
say, this is the first I've heard of it. Drew thinking that it's a podcast at all times. He's hanging out with
me. Yeah, no, this wasn't even that. I think maybe I mentioned
his Bruins, man. It's crazy.
But yeah, I've got a team. I guess you'll hear about it on the previous episode. But yeah, it's called the Jager Bombs.
I am glad you brought that up, though, because I think one of the original things we wanted to talk to Patrick about was playing in beer leagues and your experience doing that.
Yeah, that's like a ton of fun as well, because growing up I didn't even know how to skate. I learned how to skate at like 26 years old.
So there's still hope. Time for me.
Yeah. The fun thing was at that point, I was doing like physical therapy, athletic training kind of stuff. And one of the patients that I had said that he was teaching this millionaire guy how to play hockey at 6 a.m. At a local rink. So he's like, we need extra people to come play with us. Do you want to come play? And I remembered like many years earlier, I thought that I knew how to skate. So I was like, yeah, sure. I'll show up. So I show up, get all dressed up, put the skates on, go out and hit the ice and literally hit the ice. I looked like Bambi out there. And I remember going back into the locker room and seeing this coach and being like, I can't skate. He's like, don't worry about it. We'll teach you. So for the next 2 or 3 weeks, they stuck me at the other end of the ice from where they were, just pushing the goal net around to learn how to skate. And then finally, after a couple of weeks, they're like, all right, come on back down and do some drills with us. So I got to do that and play for a while. And ever since then, I've just been jumping into local beer leagues, playing wherever I can. You know, around here, there's like A, B, C, and D, where A is like the recent college kids, some former pros and that kind of thing. So I definitely play D League. I am way down the bottom of that. And I am also a total stay-home defenseman. I'm good at just getting in the way and get the puck out of my end. And from there, my job is done once the puck is out of my end. So, yeah, I certainly have my fun with that kind of thing. I am pretty good at stirring up trouble sometimes and having discussions with other players. Sometimes
sounds like me out there, Pat. I love it.
It's a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Yeah, that's one of the things I'm like worried about.
Well, I feel like Patrick's discussions are like maybe some trash talk, and Cam's are he interviews them for Brews and Bruins.
Wow, like, yo, you guys are live right now. I think it's true.
These are two very different discussions going on.
Yeah, some of those discussions might be, you know, asking somebody how their mother's doing or commenting on their lack of skating ability. So it's kind of fun to watch some of like the Marchand videos just to get new ideas for things.
Go Sean Dart and tell them they're milk drinkers.
Don't be out there licking people.
Yeah. I think you can get arrested for that one in men's league, I'm pretty sure. So yeah, you might be right there. But Pat, I do like to mention that though, because I feel like I know a lot of people who are like, oh, you know what? I would love to play hockey, but I don't know how to skate. And it's like, you've got time to learn. You know what I mean? It's not that you don't have to become an NHL skater at any point, but you put in a couple weeks of work and you'll learn how to skate well enough to, you know, put yourself out there. And if you're familiar with the game, then the rest comes along the way. You don't have to put yourself into that A division. You can start at the D division or the fucking Z division. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. But I feel like I really do know so many people who are like, oh, I wish I played hockey when I was younger. And it's like, well, you can start now. You know what I mean? I wish I played soccer when I was younger. I suck at it now, but it's something that I really enjoy and I'm trying to teach myself how to play. So obviously it's a little different, but it really is never too late to learn how to play. I mean, even just out on the pond or something like that, just go out there and teach yourself to skate, you know, safely and then have a good time. It's really not.
Yeah. There's not usually rinks around, especially up here in the Northeast, where they'll have what they call stick and puck, where you can just kind of show up, skate around with a stick and shoot a puck into the net and do whatever drills you want. So it's really low stress doing that kind of thing because it's not competitive. There's not a game happening. You're not trying to keep up with anybody and you can just work on things. And there's lots of places that you can go to get used equipment and probably get yourself fully suited up for, you know, $100 or something, including if you get used skates with it. And then just slowly start replacing the stuff. Like most of the gear that I had when I first started, I think my shoulder pads, we used to refer to as the asbestos shoulder pads because they were so old and disgusting. And just replacing everything piece by piece over time, getting it all a little bit better. So yeah, anybody can certainly pick it up if they want to. And Cam, you might have even seen, I think I put out the picture on Twitter a few days ago where I got this guy that I work with, and he's exactly the type of person that you were describing. Somebody that said that he always wanted to play hockey and he just never knew how to skate. And even better is that he moved here from India. So there's not really a thriving hockey community over in India. So he didn't really have that background, but he certainly loves the game. And he and I just kind of talk all the time. I'm giving him different tips. Like he knows how to ski down a mountain, he says. So I was telling him, you know, it's the same thing. It's going to be the pizza French fries kind of thing to be able to stop and do the hockey stops and to turn. So that's helping him a little bit, and I even gave him some of my old used gear. Not the asbestos stuff, but
that's good. Way to clarify that. Thank you.
Yeah. So eventually he also got into a league. So one of the fun things was we were kind of joking around that, you know, he was going to go out and score some goals, and he didn't really believe me that he was going to be able to do that.
Oh, I did see this. Now yeah. It's coming around to this. Yeah.
So he finally said, well, if I do ever score a goal, I'm going to get the puck for you. I'm like, okay, good. You have to do that. And then sure enough, I think it was a week or two ago, I go on Twitter in the morning and there's a picture of a puck and a little note from him and said, here's my first goal dedicated to you. So that was like the highlight of my day, seeing this guy awesome. Score That's his so first cool. goal.
That's great.
That's fucking awesome. I don't know what to fucking cheers to that. I'll drink to that, Pat. That's awesome.
That's good stuff.
Yep, that was my buddy Raj.
Shout out, Raj.
Now we got to make a bet whoever scores the first beer league goal.
Well, hopefully me tomorrow, but I doubt it. I'm more of the – I was going to say a Brandon Carlo type, but I feel like that's become more controversial.
That's actually Brandon Scorlo.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is that I'm not Brandon Scorlo. I would be Brandon Carlo. So.
You're the fulcrum.
Yeah, I'm like Charlie McAvoy, but only with regards to the chubbiness of my cheeks and the rest he's got on me. So, yeah, you know, it's all right. Drew is apparently threatening us with a knife. That says beer, which I think is from Maine. Is that Maine Brewing Company? Or no, that's the one in Orno. What's
I don't know. I got this at a comic.
I think it's Orno Brewing Company, actually. Yeah.
I got this at a comic store.
Oh, today. Well, they have a beer that's called beer, and it's really good, actually. So, yeah. And it's that color scheme, so I think it might be.
Probably that. But
this is good pod. This
yeah. Anybody, awesome. Anybody got any last words for Pat here? I feel like that story was a nice
what
way to
other
wrap it.
What other magnets got... do y'all have that are cool?
Shut the fuck up, Drew. Some magnets. Chris, anything else you want to fire over at Pat? Or Pat, anything else you want to fire over at us?
Huh. One of the things that I was remembering was like my first experience and exposure to you guys was an episode where you asked for very difficult questions that you weren't going to want to answer. And I don't remember. I don't know if you remember that episode. And people were asking you like, I think some of the questions you had on there, it's like, oh, do you prefer peanut butter or jelly? And you guys were like, this is so dumb. And then I think you finally got to my question and it was like, yep, this is the one. This is the type of
I do remember this actually. Yeah. I was curious where your jumping on point was. So that's a good way to I love it.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if the answer is still going to be the same. So I can ask the question again, if you guys want to take another stab at it.
Yeah, this is going to show the, yeah, let's do it.
All right. So which one of the other hosts would you least trust alone with your girlfriend?
Oh, I do remember this question. Oh my God. This is great. This is great. Oh, this is interesting now. There's been development since then. So I really.
Yeah. All three of us are hitched.
We actually have girlfriends now.
The Bruins and Bruins podcast does wonderful things for our personal lives.
So now I guess the only fear is do the girlfriends listen to the episodes?
Yeah, no. Mine does.
Occasionally.
Also appears on some. By the way, she sends her warmest regards to you, Patrick. The direct quote. Yeah, I trust both of these fellas implicitly with my girlfriend.
But that's not the question.
You have to choose one.
You have to choose one. Which one do you choose?
Which one of us is better looking?
Hey, Chris, I should preface this by saying she requested feet pics the other day, and by that I mean I asked her to help me buy shoes, so I have to send her a video of me walking, apparently.
Yeah, it's Cam.
I trust Cam. There you go. Well, that's switched then. That's not great. That's all right.
Yeah, Drew, who are you gonna trust less?
True. I've built trust. Chris has never even met her, so you know.
Yeah,
it could
Chris,
be
Chris has met her. Yeah. My girlfriend.
Wait, when did that happen? Drew's oh birthday. Right, when you were yeah never mind
it's on long. My birthday. Yeah
I have been alone nice. With her.
Oh
yeah.
Whoa what are you trying to say?
I went and used the bathroom at one point. So yeah, Chris, I trust most of them because.
Fuck, dude! Yeah. What do you mean? We hung out last week, dude.
Cam, you know where I live.
Just because I don't have my camera on, is that what's going on here?
Yeah,
it's because my
don't
camera's
have your
not
camera on. You can be at my house right now. So. You also know where I live. Like, I mean, people can know my address, but you know actually where I live and how to break into my house if you really wanted to. So,
all right. Well, then I only trust Pat. Fuck you both. That's my answer. no, I trust these two too much, probably, honestly. So that's good.
Yeah, I really do trust you, Chris.
I trust both of you guys.
And post within one day of when it's supposed to.
Well, I trust you guys both to edit these episodes in such a way that you're not like editing down my my audio into something that I didn't say, which Drew did do one time.
Say, what do you mean that happened?
Joke, as a clear joke, yeah. As long as you make it clear that there, it was edited down.
In fairness, there was one gigantic idiot who thought it was real.
That says more about the idiot than about Drew's editing ability. So no offense, Drew. well, yeah, there you go. There you have it. Pat, who would you trust?
Yeah, so my final words that you asked me before you switched and then asked Patrick to say something. I was just going to say thank you to Patrick for being a friend and loyal listener, and I feel like what Cam said is true. Like, calling our friends on Twitter fans seems a little reductive. So thanks for being you, and thanks for being our friend.
I have a whole lot of fun listening to the episodes and commenting on the episodes on Twitter. And even if I'm seeming as though I'm making fun of it, it's all coming from a good place as well. Because
Like genuinely are putting out this content asking for it to be made fun of.
Yeah, that's kind of the point. So
you should see the group texts.
Yeah, even the episodes where you guys admit like this is absolutely terrible and a hard listen, it's usually not that bad.
Good to know.
We can put that as our header.
I love usually that. Not that bad.
No, usually not that bad. The usually is important. So
out of 5 stars, usually not that bad.
That's got to replace Drew's dad's quote in the intro. Yeah,
that's good. Well, Pat, I'm pretty sure you are one of the few people that's left us a review on Spotify or Apple or something back in the day. I'm pretty sure there's one. You may not even remember this, but I was going through them the other day, and I'm pretty sure there was one from you. So definitely appreciate that. That definitely helps us out if anybody wants to go do that. But
and if it wasn't from you, you should probably change your password to your iTunes account.
That's also for sure true. But yeah, Pat, from the bottom of our heart, thank you very much for everything, man, all the support. And it's a pleasure to have you on here. I'm sure it won't be the last time.
Oh, I hope so. This is a whole lot of fun. It's great to hang out with you guys and talk beer and Bruins.
Amen to that. Cheers to that. Yeah, I don't know. Drew, sing us out. We haven't done it in a while. Fire away.
Oh, ba 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 la la da da la da.